Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Text 33. Translation. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life there, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. Purport. From this verse, we discover that a man is not qualified or disqualified simply by birth. Prahlad Maharaj was an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect Brahmana. Brahmanyasyeva sampanna. Anyone can become a fully qualified Brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. Om Yanachimadandasya Yananjana Chalakya Chakshir Vidhanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Dhamma Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Guru Vakarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In everything in life, both material and spiritual, a standard is required. Just like, for example, in the mundane world today of financial affairs, people are disturbed. What will be the next standard for currency, for the worth of money? It used to be gold. As they often say in New Zealand, if something is ringing true, good as gold. But you can't say that anymore. You have to say, good as paper money, or good as electronic money. In the paper money is now being pushed aside. It's all becoming electronic. As the late David Longy, former Prime Minister of New Zealand, when he was here some years ago, he's explaining how governments work, who's really in charge. He said, you know, we realize, we power movers and shakers, that 80% of the people in New Zealand don't want electronic money, but they're going to get it anyway. So there has to be a standard. No more is it gold, no more is it paper. Now it's becoming electronic, and then people are concerned, is the US dollar, what's happening? It can't be the world standard anymore. Should it be the euro? Oh, now the euro is in trouble. Maybe it should be something else. Who knows? So even in mundane affairs, you require a standard. So why should we present a standard in devotional service? And the standard par excellence is Sri Prahlad Maharaj. As the Lord himself says later in this canto, Prahlad Maharaj is the perfect example of a devotee, and anyone who follows his example will also become perfect. We should not become discouraged thinking, oh, it's all or nothing. If I can't be Prahlad Maharaj, what's the use in endeavoring in devotional service? Simply by hearing about Prahlad and humbly trying to follow in his footsteps, you get his blessings through the Sipa succession, and that way you attract the blessings of the Lord. Yesterday, His Holiness Prabhupada Swami was speaking about how Srila Prabhupada lectured on this section of Bhagavatam so many times, and how he wrote a little booklet, Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, it was put together a compilation from Prabhupada's lectures. So that was the first Krishna conscious literature that I read. As I was merrily and foolishly making my way through material existence, a Sankirtan devotee stopped me on the street. Or actually, I saw the Sankirtan devotee. I approached the devotee because I was always interested in esoteric things. I was studying astrology, and even to get relief from my studies at Yale University, on weekends I would go to the bookshop and get comic books entitled Out of This World or Strange Tales from Other Worlds, just trying to get some other perspective on life, even a comic book. Just to break out of the mundane mold. So I saw this Sankirtan devotee dressed in dhoti kirta. It's quite interesting. I went up to him. What you got there? And he just had these booklets. So I bought one. There was a different process for buying it. I won't tell the story now. Being a pseudo-cosmopolitan New Yorker, I didn't actually pay for it. The temporary significant other of the moment. She was also coming, so I said, why don't you buy this for me? Don't spend your own money. So anyway, the book was purchased, and then I went to the house, and while the temporary significant other was in the kitchen doing something, I sat on the couch and started reading. And by the time I got to page number 2, I collapsed on the couch. And I got to the point where Prahlad Maharaj explains that the taste of sense gratification is the same in any species of life. Therefore, why should you work so hard and struggle so hard just to get the same taste, the same rasa that the cats and dogs are getting? I was just finished. Some persons came running out of the kitchen. What's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, nothing. But I resolved at that moment, I'm going to go to Greenwich Village. That was the hip part of New York City. I'm going to find more books by this swami whose name I can't pronounce. So that was the impact of Prabhupada's rendition of the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Literally, it made one feel like you were hit in the chest with a freight train, and then the intelligence starts to wonder, what am I doing and why? Sukham Indriyakam Daitya Deha Yogena Vedina. Prahlad Maharaj says that sukha, that the demoniac persons are so fond of, it can easily be attained in any species of life. Dehinam Yogina. Doesn't matter what body you have, the taste is the same. This is a revolutionary point. It makes you think deeply, what am I doing? What am I trying to pursue? And then it causes the intelligence to start to turn over and think, there must be something else in life. I have to find that. So this is the potency of Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, which are still dynamic today as they come down to the civil succession. Let's think about Prahlad Maharaj's family background. This title, Hiranyakashipu who terrorized the universe. I have to own up to the titles in the bottom of them. I remember when I first put this title there, some of the devotees were thinking, oh, that's too strong. But then, after reading it, the devotees of the BBT, this is back in 76, they began to think, now, this is actually an understatement of what Hiranyakashipu did. He had all the principal demigods except Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. Of course, Vishnu is Supreme Personality God in his role as maintainer. He had all the principal personalities of the universe subordinate to him. He took over the functions of nature. He didn't need Indra for rain. He didn't need Vayu for wind blowing and drying up the rain. He didn't need Agni. He did it all himself. How? By the power of austerity. Even a demon realized you have to control your senses if you want to attain even a material thing. And he wanted the greatest material thing, to be immortal. So, the functions of nature were going on out of fear of Hiranyakashipu. Yet, although he had such power, and although everyone was so subordinate to him, even Narada Muni would glorify Hiranyakashipu. Not only the Gandharvas and other celestial musicians, but even Narada Muni. Sometimes this material world is so crazy and upside down that even a pure devotee like Narada Muni apparently has to go along with this. This is how powerful Hiranyakashipu was. Yet he was dissatisfied in spite of his power, in spite of his immense appetite for sense gratification and countless opportunities for sensual indulgence. He was dissatisfied because he was a servant of his senses. This is a point that we should all meditate upon. And Srila Prabhupada very deftly presents Hiranyakashipu as a prime example of the dissatisfaction that must be there in a material civilization. So please think about Hiranyakashipu in that way. It's a point that I've just recently began to think about. He is an example of why material civilization can't work. Indeed, the kind of civilization that we have now, in which people are just encouraged to let their material desires go wild, and they should expect satisfaction in that way. Hiranyakashipu, we just heard about his power. He was never satisfied. Therefore, you have the prime exemplar of pure bhakti, and you have the prime exemplar of a materially dissatisfied civilization. What a combination. So, therefore, at the end of this chapter, Yudhisthira Maharaj is going to ask a very important question. How is it, Narada Muni, that Prahlad was so tormented by his father? To his children, Hiranyakashipu was actually affectionate. You'll hear later in the chapter how he would pick Prahlad up on his lap and smell his head, which is a manifestation of affection. I dear Prahlad, it was the best thing you learned in school. All our school children, they always learn this part of the Bhagavatam. So he was an affectionate father. Indeed, he had four sons, the Bhagavatam says. All of them were wonderful in terms of material qualifications, though they were demons. Still, materially, they had completely together prime material personalities. Prahlad was the greatest of them all because of his spiritual qualifications. So we have to understand two things. Hiranyakashipu was affectionate to Prahlad, yet he tried to kill his son. And Prahlad was noble, pure-hearted, and very obedient to his father. So the question is, how can this happen? Generally, parents, they chastise their children out of love to protect the child. But Hiranyakashipu, that wasn't his motive. He wanted to eradicate his son, liquidate his own son. So it's a very relevant question. How could someone who feels affection for his child be driven then to kill his child, who, and especially a child who's so noble and pure-hearted? This question makes us think of Prahlad Maharaj's bhakti. And what was it like? Actually, in this chapter, Srila Prabhupada starts talking in he starts explaining amazingly high understandings about bhava, pure love of Krishna, in very simple language. So you might overlook the depths of what he's talking about. He explains bhava in terms of Prahlad as a small child. That when the child doesn't feel the presence of his mother, you can study children. There are quite a few children around. I've been watching them in the past few days upon reading this section of the Bhagavatam. When mother's not around, they cry and cry. As soon as mother appears, they laugh and they're happy. They can get what they want. So, this is the example that Prabhupada uses in explaining to us bhava, the high bhava that Prahlad Maharaj possessed. He felt separation from the Supreme Lord, and he would cry out like a small child. And then when the Lord would appear, he would rejoice in jubilation. Another point the Bhagavatam makes about Pulamaraja's Bhava is that, and you have to really know something about small children. Mothers will understand this. Prahlad actually functioned as a child who's eating, sleeping, evacuating, all of his bodily functions went on without his thinking about it. That's the nature of his surrender to the Supreme Lord. His pure devotion and his taking shelter of the Supreme Lord was such that he never even thought of his bodily activities. Look at a little child and see if the little child is thinking, now I should take a bath, now I should evacuate, now I should eat. No, it just all happens. The mother is there taking care of all that. The child just goes about his infant way, crying and laughing and attention span jumping from one thing to another. Of course, in Prahlad Maharaj's case, his attention was always fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he was oblivious to his bodily functions, just like a small child is oblivious to the bodily functions. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, it's stated that the surrendered devotee can be like a drunk person. A drunk person is unaware of the activities of the body. Those who have that experience. A drunk person, I've been told, just is lost in the state of intoxication and can't really tell how he or she is walking, especially how he or she is driving. This is how dangerous material existence is. You think you're a sane, rational person in control of your senses, or a nice citizen, pious religious believer, but just by driving on the road, you have no control over who else is out there. A drunk driver, and they exist in New Zealand all the time, you could have a fatal accident at any moment. Yet we're thinking, oh, I will be here for so long because I have desires to fulfill and Krishna understands. It's a very naive conception of the world, which we will succumb to unless we keep our intelligence sharp by hearing and chanting about Krishna. So, the point is Prahlada Maharaja's devotion. Oblivious to bodily activities because of his shelter at the Supreme Personality of Godhead's feet. And furthermore, Srila Prabhupada describes that just like a child, when he sees his mother is far away, he calls out to his mother in great anxiety. Loudly calls, "Mother, mother." And then when he sees the mother coming toward him, he dances in ecstasy. "Mother is coming, mother is coming." And the mother reassures the child, "Yes, my dear, I'm coming, I'm coming." So in this way, we get insight in the nature of love of Krishna and separation and the attachment between the Lord and his devotee. An attachment so great that Sanatana Goswami explains very beautifully the glories of Prahlada Maharaja. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you read about how Narada Muni was seeking to find the greatest devotee. So at this point, he was talking to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was explaining to Narada Muni the glories of the residents of Vaikuntha. And especially he got to the glories of Mahalakshmi. So Narada Muni was getting very enthusiastic. "Oh, I have to go there, I have to go there. Greater devotees than what I've heard before. I've heard of before, I have to go." He was looking upward, Vaikuntha. He was so ready to go that Lord Shiva had to grab him by the hand. Wait. "I'm going to tell you something, but I can't say it out loud. Come closer and I'll whisper it in your ear. I'm going to tell you about someone. Even my personal associates shouldn't hear about it, especially like my wife, Gauri, shouldn't hear. Because if my wife hears me glorifying someone other than her friend, Mahalakshmi, I could be in trouble." So you see, even in the higher levels of existence, there are things you have to take on board and be concerned with. So Lord Shiva was very pragmatic. I'll whisper in your ear, I'm going to tell you about Prahlad Maharaj. Number one, there's no need for you to go to Vaikuntha now to look at the devotees there, because the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Mahalakshmi, she's there on the Earth planet, in Dwarka, with the original personality of Godhead. It's easier for you just to go to Earth and see the greatest devotees. But still beyond Mahalakshmi, there's Prahlad. Let's talk about Prahlad Maharaj. Lord Shiva explained that the so-called recent devotees on Earth who have gone through the trials and tribulations, they're actually more dear to the Lord than His eternal associates in Vaikuntha, because the eternal associates in Vaikuntha, Sanatana Goswami also explains, they never had to go through any ordeals. They didn't have to risk anything. But devotees like Prahlad, they went through ordeals, they risked everything for the Lord, therefore they're even dearer to the Lord than His eternal associates in Vaikuntha. Of course, we shouldn't apply a material mode of analysis, because on the perfect platform, everything is perfect, as you've heard, perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Still, for the sake of exemplifying pure devotion in all circumstances, Prahlad is glorified in that way. So, there are verses in the Bhagavatam where the Lord Himself says, I don't get pleasure from my opulences. I don't get pleasure from my sweetness. I don't even consider my body, my own body, to have any value. I think the value is in my pure devotees. I'm in the core of their heart. They're in the core of my heart. I don't know anyone but them and the devotees of those devotees. So here we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking that even His personal attributes, even His very body, doesn't please Himself as much as devotees like Prahlad. So Lord Shiva, He documents His case. That is the way in spiritual life. Everything is documented, especially when you make extraordinary statements. So Lord Shiva said, just consider, let's look at Bali Maharaj. Why did Bali Maharaj get such mercy from the Lord? The Lord became His doorman on Sutala, the lower planets. Why? Do you think it was really because of anything that Bali Maharaj did? Okay, let's go over Bali Maharaj's case. Lord Shiva explains. He took over the heavenly planets. He put demons in charge in the heavenly planets instead of the demigods. In other words, He overturned the laws of nature. That's just number one. Number two, He disobeyed His guru, Shukracharya, who said, don't give anything to Vishnu. Regardless of Shukracharya's qualification, still the fact is, Bali Maharaj disregarded His guru. That's number two. And number three, He gave charity to Vamadeva, promising three steps of land. In fact, He was proud when Vamadeva just asked for three steps of land. What do you mean? I know that your words are as good as an elderly Brahmana, but still I must point out, you are an inexperienced child. I can give you anything, villages, wives, gold, elephants, and you're just asking for three steps of land? You're certainly an inexperienced little boy. And you want to be it? Take your steps. And as you know, with two steps, Vamadeva covered the whole universe and had no place for his third step. So Bali Maharaj thought, well, the possessor of the wealth is more important than the wealth. I lost the whole universe, the three worlds. That's all right. Put your third step on my head. But still, that wasn't enough. The Lord ordered him to be arrested for not violating His promise. And he got the benediction of living on Sutala with the Lord as his doorman. So, Lord Shiva said, do you think that all this happened, the mercy Balimara's got, just because he gave charity to the Lord? So what? He gave the three worlds. That's nothing. Not to speak of himself, it's even less than nothing. The reason why he got such mercy is because he's the grandson of Balarama. That's the only reason. Forget about any other reason. Then Lord Shiva further documented his case. Banasura. You know, if you're reading Krishna book, Banasura asked Lord Shiva for the benediction of a thousand arms, and he got so proud that he told Lord Shiva, actually, I can't find anyone to fight except you. Banasura kidnapped the grandson of Krishna.